Let's open our Bibles together, please. We open our Bibles in the book of Matthew's Gospel in the chapter number 13. Matthew's Gospel, the 13th chapter. Let's follow the reading of God's precious and God's holy word. In Matthew chapter 13, we commence reading at verse number 1. Verse number 1. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the sea side. And great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And Jesus, and he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seed fell on the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth. And forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell upon thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But others fell into good ground, brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, and some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Verse 18. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. He that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. When tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that receiveth seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth, some 100-fold, and some 60, and some 30. Let's keep our Bibles open. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray for understanding. Pray for help as we minister thy word, and we pray that in all things the Lord Jesus himself will be honored and lifted and glorified. Thank you for the ministry of song. We thank thee for those that can truly say, in Christ they're satisfied. I've found everything that I need in Jesus Christ. He's the lily of the valleys. He's the bright in the morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. Bless us as we wait before thee and hear thy word in Jesus' precious name. Amen. When we think of the Lord Jesus Christ and the ministry of the Savior, and we think of the words that he spake, it is true, never man spake like this man. When we look at those who followed the Lord Jesus Christ, listened to him, we see the multitudes here. These were days of Christ's popularity when the crowds came and followed and listened to the ministry of the Lord Jesus. In verse number 2 of chapter 13 it says, And great multitudes were gathered together unto him. It was not always that way. There came a time when, in actual fact, it said, from that time many of them went back and walked with him no more. In actual fact, he turned to his disciples and he said to them, Will ye also go away? But here at this particular time, it was the years of Christ's popularity. Multitudes of all classes of people gathered to hear the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to see the picture on the western shores of the Galilean Lake and the Lake of Galilee. And the Lord Jesus Christ is occupied with teaching and ministering to the needs of the people. In this particular chapter, so great are the multitudes that we find the Lord Jesus enters into the ship. And the Lord Jesus sits down in that ship and he teaches them as they gather there along the mountainside. There were Pharisees that were there. There were publicans that were there. There were sinners that were there. The sick, the halt, the lame, the blind were all gathered there to listen to the Lord Jesus Christ. All had different reasons for coming. Some people came to hear the marvelous words that Christ spoke. Some came to see the miracles that Christ did. But they were gathered there under the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. In actual fact, all kinds of grounds that are spoken of here in the rest of this chapter actually were there on that occasion, listening to the Lord Jesus Christ as He spake. Whenever the Lord Jesus Christ ministered, sometimes He spoke in parables, sometimes He spoke through His miracles, sometimes He spoke through illustrations. Other times He spoke just with plain statements that the people would understand. It's interesting to note that about a third of all the recorded teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ were given in parables. This was one of them that we find in this chapter 13 of the book of Matthew's Gospel. Parables were not fables. They were real situations, they were real stories of life that were cast alongside a spiritual truth to help the people's understanding and knowing the spiritual meaning and the spiritual teaching that the Lord Jesus Christ was giving. We recall the symbolic language of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, the Lord Jesus was at the well, and the woman came to the well that day. And the Lord Jesus Christ, at that well, He talked about the water of life. It was an illustration from the very situation that He found Himself in. Remember the Lord Jesus Christ, He spoke to the fishermen, and this is what He said to them. He said, "I will make you to become fishers of men." They would understand that. Instead of fishing in the sea, they would fish indeed amongst the sea of humanity. And He would speak to them in language that they understood. One day He said, "Look on the fields, for they are white and ready to harvest." And can't you see it? The crowd would look there, and the disciples would look there, and they would walk through the harvest fields. In other words, He would take the ordinary situation, and He would give them the spiritual truth and help their understanding just exactly what He means. You know, sometimes preachers think that they have to impress their hearers by talking above them and talking big language and big words. I want to tell you, my friend, the Lord Jesus Christ was a simple preacher. He spoke tremendous eternal truths, but the Lord Jesus Christ, He cast alongside that spiritual truth a very simple illustration, for He spoke in parables and He sought to help the people to understand the meaning of that tremendous truth. Now, the amazing and wonderful thing about the Lord Jesus Christ is this. He spoke about the salt of the earth. He spoke about the light of the world. He spoke about the foundations. He spoke about the rock and the sand. Things that people could just really understand. And He would bring the spiritual meaning and spiritual truth out of it. In the story that is before us, He speaks about the sower going forth to sow. And you know, the Lord Jesus Christ, not only does He preach, and not only does He speak in the parable, but you know this, that the Lord Jesus Christ then goes on from verse number 18, and He says, "Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower." In other words, He does not leave the interpretation of the parable to their own interpretation. The Lord Jesus Christ not only gives the illustration, but the Lord Jesus Christ interprets the meaning. And he breaks it down so that they will understand just exactly what He is speaking about. And then if you notice in verse number 9, He says, "Who hath ears to hear, let him hear." You see, the Lord Jesus Christ is a burden for souls, and He wants people to hear. He wants people to take their attention of other things and to place their attention upon the things of great value and the great eternal truths that He wants to impart to them. "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." And the emphasis here is not upon the speaker, friend, it's upon the hearer. Sometimes people think about the purpose of a congregation is the purpose of gathering together to hear the speaker. My friend, the emphasis here is not upon the speaker. Although that's very important, and not upon the sower. It's upon, my friend, the hearer, because the Lord Jesus Christ says, "Who hath ears to hear, let him hear." And God wants you to hear tonight what He wants to say. Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Because God has ordained that through the foolishness of preaching, that He will save them that believe. I thank God when I was a child I heard the word of God. I thank God that I heard it not only with the natural ear, but I thank God for the drawing of the Spirit of God that helped my understanding and opened my heart, as He did Lydia's heart many years ago, to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior and my friend. I want you to notice simple things tonight. First of all, I want you to notice the seed. I want you to notice the seed here. If you turn in the 13th chapter of Matthew's Gospel, it says here in the verse number 3, "And He spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them. Some seeds fell upon the stony places, and some seeds fell upon the thorns," verse 7, "and other seeds fell into good ground and brought forth fruit." I want you to notice, first of all, the seeds. You see, when the Lord Jesus Christ that day was speaking to them by the seaside, He was speaking about the importance of the seed that was being sown in their hearts. And the seed is the Word of God. Go to verse number 19. "When one heareth the word of the kingdom." When one heareth the word. And the sowing of the seed, my friend, is the sowing of the Word of God. It is so important that men and women are brought to hear the Word of God. I said through the foolishness of preaching, that is God's chief ordained way of saving them that believe. That's why that God's people ought to have a burden. If they really have a love for souls, if they really have a burden for the souls of men and women, friend, listen, they will not believe in Him of whom they have not heard. How shall they hear without a preacher? How shall he preach except he be sent? And yet the tragedy is this, that there are so many of us as God's people, and it seems to be that we have not the burden to sow the seed of God's Word or to get the unconverted in to hear the incorruptible Word of God which lives and abides forever. It says when he hears the word of the kingdom. I'm not here tonight to preach my theories. I'm not here to preach philosophies. I'm here to preach the word. That's what Paul said to young Timothy. He said, "Timothy, God's calling me home and I'm about to go." But he says, "Timothy, I charge thee before God." He says, "Preach the word. Preach the word. Preach it in season. Preach it out of season. But preach the word." The primary purpose of our worship service here tonight is to gather round the Word of God and to worship Him around His Word. You know, there's so many meetings today that they believe that somehow the Word of God is just the end part of the meeting. And when they talk about the end part of the meeting, they just believe it's just for a few minutes at the end tagged on, because the singing and all the other things are to take place and take primary position. I want to tell you, my friend, the purpose that this pulpit is in the middle of this wall is a signifying sign to this congregation that the central part of our worship is the preaching of the Word of God. This is a preaching house. Our forefathers call it a meeting house, where people simply gathered in the meeting house for the preaching of the Word of God. "I charge thee before God." Here is a charge to preach the word and the sowing of the seed. You know, it's a precious thing when you and I have the opportunity of going around and just sowing the seed. Because there is a promise that goes with the sowing. You know that God says this, that God says that His word shall not return unto Him void. You know that every time that you sow the seed, my brother, sister in Jesus Christ, that you ought to be encouraged, because you don't know where the seed's falling. But one thing you don't know is that you can be sure of is this, that God's word that goeth forth out of His mouth shall not return unto Him void. It's one of the most important tasks for any person to have. It's the sowing of the seed of the Word of God. Of course, Paul, writing to Timothy, said the time will come they will not endure sound doctrine. The time will come when men and women will not want to hear the word of God. But he said, I charge you, Timothy. I charge you before God. I give you the solemn charge. No matter what the people think, you preach the word and you be instant in season. And you be out of season. You reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. You be faithful to God in the ministry of the word of God. I'm glad that this church believes that this word is God's word, that this is God's book. And I believe, my friend, that this is a faithful translation. The King James Authorized Version of the Word of God is a faithful translation of the word that God gave. I believe that you can depend upon it. I believe you can stand upon it. I believe it's profitable for doctrine. You want to know what God's mind is? You go to the book of God. It is profitable for reproof. My friend, if you want to know God's reproof and God's mind in a situation, even to reprove in your heart, you go to the Word of God. It's the incorruptible seed of the Word of God. And it's so important that we realize what this is living seed. This is living seed. The Word of God, the Bible says in Peter, is quick, it's powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. The word quick means living. It's a living word, and we handle tonight a living word. This is a life-giving word. Through the preaching of the Word of God, God gives life to the hearts of men and women. God gives saving faith to men and women. If you read this story carefully, friend, you'll find that there are different sowing of a seed. There's that which falls on the hard ground by the wayside. There's that which falls among the thorns. There's that which falls upon the stony ground. There's that which falls upon the good ground. But let me say this to you. The problem is not with the seed. The problem is with the soil. And whenever you do not see fruit that is reaped, my friend, it's not the problem of the seed. There is a problem of the soil. But before salvation takes place, there must be the sowing of the seed. There must be the planting of the Word of God in the hearts of men and women. He that hath ears to hear. God wants you to hear the Word tonight. I didn't think up this message this evening. This is God's Word. I say like Paul of old. He said, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which ye are saved. He says, I deliver unto you, first of all, that which I also received. In other words, I received it before I can give it. I received it, and thank God for that night when by faith I received the good word of God in my own heart. There is the seed here. Then secondly, there is the sower. Now the Bible tells us, if we understand here, that this sower which goes forth to sow is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Of course, I have the privilege tonight of standing in this congregation. It's the inestimable privilege, it's a most wonderful privilege to stand before the people and to do likewise, to sow the seed of the Word of God. And that's what I'm doing in this service tonight. I'm just sowing the seed of God's Word. If you turn in your Bibles, keep your hands there, turn in your Bibles to Psalm 126. And Psalm 126, let's just read the verses here. It says here in verse number 4, turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. And tonight I pray that God will give us a brokenness of heart, even as we carry the seed. You know, friends, sometimes people tell a soul they're going to hell, and somehow it seems as if the way it comes out, it's so hard, it's so harsh. It's as if, you know, the preacher or the
The witnesser is nearly delighted the person's going to hell. Let me tell you, my friend, the Lord Jesus Christ had a soft heart. When the Lord Jesus Christ looked on the multitudes, the Bible says that the Lord Jesus Christ had compassion on them.
When he looked on the crowds of people, the crowds of humanity that were all around and going to a Christless eternity, the Lord Jesus Christ wept. He wept over them. He had a broken heart. I must confess that we as God's people need softness of heart. We need a compassionate heart for the lost. Let me ask you, do you really love the lost? We heard our brethren sing, "My Jesus, I love Thee. I know Thou art mine, friend." You can't say that to the Lord in a harsh way, can you? You need a heart that's broken. You need a heart of love. "My Jesus, I love Thee." And when the Lord Jesus Christ looked out on the multitude that night or that day, the Lord Jesus had compassion because He saw them as sheep without a shepherd. In other words, He saw them straying. Remember this, dear sinner. That's where we were once. I'm glad that somebody prayed for me. I'm glad somebody loved me for Jesus. I'm glad there were those that held me up before the throne of God and prayed that God would save my precious soul. They didn't hammer me into salvation, friend. But thank God they prayed for me earnestly that God would break me and that God would save me by His sovereign grace. And praise the Lord, He did. And that's an amazing story of the grace of God. Every one of us in this congregation tonight have loved ones that are going to hell. And friend, if they die in their sin, let me tell you this. They'll burn in the damned forever. They'll cry. Amidst the awful groanings of the damned, there'll be the groanings of your loved ones or mine. For Jesus says, "Ye shall die in your sin, and where I am, ye can't come." Does that bother us? Does that really concern us? Does that break us? Whenever we pray for them, how many times do we weep? Is our heart broken before God? Listen, "He that goeth forth and weepeth with a broken heart." Realizing that mankind is lost without Jesus, friend. The souls of men are dying without Jesus. They might have plenty in their pocket. They might have their big houses. They might have their fast motor cars. But friend, they're speeding on to hell. And it's only the mercy of God that keeps the heart ticking, the heart beating within their breast and keeping them out of the damned. "He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed." This is precious seed tonight. And we're here to sow the seed. I pray the Spirit of God will sow the seed in your heart, even as we preach the Word of God tonight. And that God will sow it deep within your soul. We have the story here of the seed and we have the story of the sower. But notice the soil. And that's what I want to draw your attention in the closing moments of our meeting. Let's look at the soil here. And go to verse number 4. It says, "Some seeds fell by the wayside." And here we see the careless hearer. See, the Lord Jesus was talking to this great multitude of people. And in that congregation of people, friend, there were all of these kinds of ground, all of these types of soil. And there the Lord Jesus Himself was sowing the seed. But He said that some of the seed would fall by the wayside. Now let me tell you this. When the Lord Jesus Christ spoke to His audience about that, they knew what He was talking about. They knew the illustration that the Lord Jesus Christ was making here.
because some would fall by the wayside. Look at verse 19. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receiveth seed by the wayside. You see, the wayside was the ground where people walked on. There were not the footpaths in those days, but people would walk on the wayside. The people would walk upon the ground, and you see where the feet would tread upon it. My, were the walking of the world's feet upon it. Foot after foot would tread that pathway. And do you know exactly what would happen? It would become hard. It would become hard. The Bible said that some of the seed would fall by the wayside, in other words, on the hard ground. And let me say about that is simply this. This ground has never been plowed. This is the wayside. People walk over it. It is the wayside. It is so hard. It is so parched. It is so dry. And people's feet just tread upon it. And the ground's hardened. The seed never gets in. Two reasons. First of all, because the ground's not plowed. And secondly, no sooner does it fall, then the fowls of the air come and they just lift up the seed and they just carry it away. And that's what the Lord Jesus Christ is talking about, friend. He's talking about the hard heart. You know, the multitudes of humanity are going to hell tonight and they don't care. You know that the multitudes of our society have never darkened a church door today? The vast majority across the United Kingdom have never walked into a meeting house today to hear the Word of God or to hear any preacher preach. Why is that? Because, you see, our society is the society of the hard ground. It is the ground that has never been plowed, my friend. It is the indifferent society in which we live, filled with materialism. Man doesn't really feel that he needs God at all. He feels that as long as his pocket is full and his mouth is full, as long as his earthly possessions, his life is filled with earthly things, then he hasn't a thought about eternity. And don't think about that, friend. Listen, that's all around us. All around us is very nice. You and I know that there are homes that never, ever think of God. Think of God's Word. Their hearts have never been plowed with a gospel plow. And when the seed, even when they hear it, perhaps they're passing by and there's a gospel open air, they just walk on by, completely indifferent. The Bible says concerning a man in the Scriptures called Gallio, he cared for none of those things. There's the careless heart. And it's just hard, trodden down. Absolutely thoughtless about eternity. Wouldn't you think that man would somehow think sometime about where he came from and where he's going? Wouldn't you think when man sees so much sickness all around him and so much disease and so much heartache and heartbreak that somehow it would penetrate their thoughts? And friend, if it does, if that day does come, just the fowls of the air come and they just carry it away, lest somehow, some way, they might consider these things. And then the Lord Jesus goes on and he says, there were some, verse number 5, some of the seed fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because there was no deepness of earth, and when the sun was up they were scorched, and because they had no root they withered away. And here we see the casual hearer. It is true, you know, men and women come to a gospel meeting. It is true that men and women can for a moment think about eternal things. And when they're faced about the reality of eternity, that if they die in their sin, they'll be lost in hell forevermore. It is so easy that people can be emotionally hearers of the Word, and it moves them all of a sudden, but they never really think about what it means to follow Jesus. It never enters their hearts, repentance of heart. They will make a profession. Well, you know, that's true what the preacher's saying. I am headed to eternity. I need the Lord Jesus Christ. And emotionally, for a moment, they may be even moved to tears. But there's no depth in them. There is no cost of discipleship. There is no thought of what it means to follow Jesus. Take up thy cross and follow me. And friends, the reality is this. There are those, and the seed falls upon the stony ground, the rocky ground. And where there's no depth. There's just a covering of soil. And the roots cannot get down into it because it is the stony ground. But we find instead of going down, the roots going down, the shoots come up. And what does that mean? It means they give a show. They make a profession. And even for a moment, friend, there may be the semblance of life. But there is not. Because there is no repentance. The Lord Jesus Christ said, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. They want the comfort, you see, of being able to say, well, you know, I'm in a profession. But if you look at their hearts and look at their lives, friend, they have not dealt with their sin. There has not been the repentance of sin. There has not been a turning. There has not been a change of mind concerning their sinfulness and their waywardness and their sinful nature. They have not turned their lives in reality over to God. They want the comfort or the relief of a decision. But they have never died to self. It is possible that somebody listening to my words tonight in this congregation, that friend, that's all that you have. Because you see, there is no depth here. There is no depth here. There is the semblance of life because it says this. It says, and forthwith they sprung up. There seems to be that there is the assemblance of life and there is the shooting forth upwards of an outward show or an outward sign. Let me tell you what salvation, friend. Salvation is a heart experience, not a head experience. Salvation is when Jesus Christ, the Son of God, delivers a man from the power of his sin and the plague of his sin, the pollution of his sin. When Christ changes a life, when a man becomes a new creature, the old things, they pass away and behold, all things become new. And when a sinner comes to Christ, friend, there's no strings attached. There's no reservation, there's no line drawn. Because when a sinner truly comes to Christ, he acknowledges the Lordship of Christ. And if he's not Lord, then he's not Savior. Have you acknowledged him as the Lord of your life? Have you handed the reins of your life? Has there been repentance of heart, friend? You see, there's some people, and they want heaven, but they don't want the cross. The Lord Jesus Christ said, if anyone's been his disciple, he says he will take up his cross and follow him. That's the cost of discipleship. And if your life has changed, friend, if you're saved by the grace of God, then your life will change. Do you remember, let me give you a wee example. Do you remember the Lord Jesus Christ and the woman of Samaria at the water, at the well? And when the Lord Jesus Christ spoke to the woman about, if any man drink of the water that I shall give him, not thirst again. What did the woman say immediately to Jesus? Give me that water.
You see, the woman didn't want to have to go back to the water pot. With the water pot, go back to the well, time after time after time. He says, give me the water. She didn't understand what Jesus was saying for him. There wasn't the depths. The depth. Thank God the Lord Jesus Christ worked in that woman's heart and revealed to her her sinfulness and her lostness. And she did come to Christ. And praise God, she came with a pot to get the water. And thank God she went home with a well. Because the well of water is springing up in her heart. See, that's the difference. And the Lord Jesus talks about a person. A person that, yes, and on they make the profession. Go to verse 20. He that received the seed in the stony place is the same as he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receives it. Listen, it's an emotional thing. Just by the moment of emotion. Now, that would be a good thing to have comfort in your heart and to know all's well. Yet hath he not root in himself. But dureth for a while. You see, there's the outward show. For when tribulation and persecution arises because of the word, by and by he's offended. It was profession without possession. And Jesus knew that amid that crowd that day, there were those that left. And then very quickly, friend, notice number 3, verse 22. He that receiveth seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. Now, I believe here's a person that comes to a gospel meeting. Let me give you an illustration of this person. Here's a person who comes to a gospel meeting, or here's a person upon whose heart the Spirit of God is working. There has been the plowing. And there is the working of the Spirit of God. And I believe there's a person has got deep concern here of heart. Yes, they know that there is the cost of discipleship of following Jesus. They know that to make Christ Lord of their lives, there has to be a complete change. You become a new creature. But friend, as they sit and think of that, and the Spirit of God is speaking to them, they're like Felix that can even tremble. They're like Agrippa that are almost persuaded. And then, my friend, listen, because of the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches, they choke the word. Now, the words, they weigh. Friend, let me tell you, they come down on the side of the word. Why? Because they love their sin. They love their possessions. They love their positions. And they stand at a crossroads. And the love of the world chokes the word. And they walk away. As a fact, I believe that's one of the saddest parts of the story. You know, in Mark's Gospel, chapter 10, the Lord Jesus tells us about such a person. He was a young man. He was a rich young ruler. A rich young ruler that had so much and yet had so little. And he'd got concern of heart, friend. He wasn't frivolous. He wasn't flippant about the things of God. He was genuinely concerned about eternal things. And he comes to the feet of the Master. Now remember, here's a Jewish member of the Sanhedrin. He's a rich young ruler. And he runs and falls at the feet of the Son of God, friend, as people are standing there watching him, and he doesn't care. He has got a burden of soul. And he falls at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, good Master. He said, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? I have got everything else. But I have nothing for eternity. I have plenty for life, but have nothing for eternity. What shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? The Lord Jesus looked into that young man's heart and he realized there was a problem. For the Lord knew that in that young man's heart there was already a king upon the throne. There was already a God in his life. And was a God of riches. That's what he lived for. The Bible says he was a rich young ruler. I don't know how he got his riches, friend.
But no matter how he got them, he loved them.
And the Lord looked into that young man's heart, and let me tell you, I believe he was earnest. He was earnest when he fell at the feet of Jesus Christ, Son of God, and he said, "What shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" Jesus said, "Listen, sell all you have.
Give to the poor."
Because you see, the Lord Jesus Christ looked into that young man's heart. Listen, no man can serve two masters.
And he already got one.
And friend, there's not one in this congregation tonight, let me tell you this. No man, no woman can serve two masters. And if you're going to make Christ the king of your life, friend, you've got to dethrone the one who's on the throne already. You can't have sin and salvation. You can't have them both. For when Jesus comes in salvation power, he comes to deal with your sin. What the Bible says about that young man. I believe tears were running down his cheeks that day. I believe he was broken. I believe he was almost persuaded. And then the Word of God says this. He went away. For he had great possessions. He stood at the crossroads of life. But he stood at the crossroads of eternity. And he made a choice. And the choice he made was this. He went away from Christ. Away from salvation. Away from pardon. Away from heaven. And he carried his sin with him. Until one day his sin damned him in hell. All the cares of the world. Men and women have sat, young people have sat in gospel meetings, friends, and let me tell you, the Spirit of God has dealt with them. Maybe it was companions, they thought about companions. What would they say? Maybe it was pleasures. Maybe it was possessions. Whatever it be, friend. You're almost persuaded. But the world weighed too heavy. Choked the word. He said, some fell on good ground. There's the careful hearer. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. He heard. Thank God not only did he hear, but thank God he believed. He received. The Bible says he brought forth fruit. Some 100, some 60, some 30. The Lord Jesus is passing this way tonight. Let me ask you this. What's the soil of your heart like? Some years ago, there was a story carried in an American newspaper about a famous physician, a famous surgeon. His name was Dr. Lorenz. He was a great surgeon from Vienna in Austria. There was this mom in a very poor home, she had a little girl, a little crippled girl. They would read about the great stories of the great healings of this doctor and the great miracles he worked in his surgery, his operations. And one day the newspaper carried the story, told the story of this woman and this child. They were sitting in their home and they were sitting talking that afternoon. It was raining outside and they were sitting talking together and they were talking about the girl's affliction and she was talking about how she felt and what she longed for. She said to her, "Mommy, wouldn't it be wonderful if I could get an appointment with that famous physician? Wouldn't it be wonderful if he would straighten my crippled and crooked limbs?" Mum loved her child and said, "Darling, but it would cost thousands of dollars and we don't have it." All over the world they seek for this physician. "I'd love I'd be able to pay for it, darling, but I couldn't. And even if we could, you know, you'd never get to him. So many need him." All of a sudden, at that moment, unknown to them, in that very city, Dr. Lorenz was visiting that city. He stepped out of his hotel. He was going out just to stretch himself and to go for a walk and give himself some air and exercise. And as he was walking down through that city, unknown to them, he came down the street where they were living. It started to rain. Dr. Renz turned aside and he stepped up to the porch of that poor home and he knocked on the door. This stranger was standing at the door and so he said, "May I come in? I would like to call for my carriage." And the mother said, "No, we admit no strangers to our home. You make your call from somewhere else." The newspaper carried that story the next day. That Dr. Lorenz, the famous surgeon, was refused admission into a humble home in the city. The little girl was reading in the paper and read the story and knew it was their home. Another girl cried out, "Oh, Mother, Mother, he was here. And I needed him so much. But we wouldn't let him in." Let me tell you of the great physician, the Lord Jesus Christ, the only healer of broken hearts and sinful souls, is here. And he says, "Behold, I stand at your door and knock, young person. I wonder, will you cry in eternity, oh God, he was there." But I wouldn't let him in. Room for Jesus, King of glory. Hasten now his word obey. Swing the heart's door widely open. Bid him enter. While you may. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, bless thy word to our hearts. May there be hearts that will open the door to Christ tonight. Give deciding grace. Oh, that sinners will let Jesus in. For Jesus' sake. Amen.